Hello there.
Welcome back to another episode of Star Wars in the Galaxy, watching all the Star Wars we can get our hands on. I'm Eli.
I'm Jacob.
And today we are back with episode 130 of Star Wars in the Galaxy, watching all the Star Wars we can get our hands on. We're in good spirits today because, of course, how could we not be while watching four shorts from Young Jedi Adventures yet again? This is where we get fucking weird with this. I'm going to pull up Disney Plus right now just to explain to our listeners. And I will actually post the... I don't think I posted the list for last episode. Actually, we haven't posted last episode yet. I don't even have to say this. But here's what we did. Last week with Isabella, that was a great episode. We did the first and second halves of episodes 1 and 2 of Young Jedi Adventures. The Young Jedi Yoda's Mission, Dash's Race Day, and the Lost Jedi Ship. We are skipping episodes 3 and 4. Because I don't really think they're necessary. They're doing the first half of episode 5, the Jellyfruit Pursuit, both halves of episode 6, Squadron and Forced Defenders, and the first half of 7, the Jedi and the Thief. I told Jacob this right before we started, but these 7 episodes consisted of the first drop of Young Jedi Adventures. I think it was actually on May 4th of 2023. So I remember trying to watching these like one a day on Disney Plus and like basically getting up there. I'm like, this was good. I hope they do more stuff with this. And boy, howdy, did they do more stuff with this. Yeah, but so for any fans of Creature Safari and The Missing Kibben, which are the other halves of 5 and 7, sorry. Yeah, we're skipping a bunch of shit here and I don't really care. Like there's a bunch of... Jacob, I'm going to be completely transparent with you. A lot of stuff we're skipping are Liz Soleil-centric episodes, and I love Liz and I love her character, but it's often just them chasing creatures around, which doesn't do it for me.
Fair enough. This is your favorite show, or you're the reason that we're watching this. We're at your discretion for which episodes make the cut and which ones do not.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
So how are we going to split this up? Maybe I summarize. I'll summarize the last two. You summarize the first two. Can you summarize Jellyfruit Pursuit and Squadron?
Sorry, I'm still fighting off a lot of jet lag. I had a hell of a travel day on Friday, so I'm still recovering.
I spent way more time sleeping on my spring break than I care to admit.
Yeah, I'm probably going to take a nap as soon as we finish recording, to be honest with you. In Jellyfruit Pursuit, we open on Tanu with two Rodians picking some jellyfruit for the imminent Jellyfruit Festival, which will be held that night. That's right, it's a fruit so good, it has its own festival. However, because of course she does, Tabor shows up, and Tabor's gang steals all the jellyfruit. Back in town, the Jedi younglings receive word. They receive word of the theft, and they decide to go off and to try and find Tabor and recover the missing jellyfruit. They go to Yharam Tower, a notorious pirate cantina and hideout, where they find, disguised as pirates, with Nash. Nash takes them there. They're all disguised as pirates. They go to Yharam Tower, and they find Tabor. Unfortunately, Kai's helmet falls off, and their cover is blown. They chase Tabor and his gang with the jellyfruits out to the edge of the platform to the landing zone, and the younglings are forced to use the Force all together to lift the crate back onto the platform after it falls off, and they defeat Tabor. However, in the end, Nash feels bad and even gives a jellyfruit to Tabor, because the point of the Jellyfruit Festival is to revel and share in the delicious fruit. And that is that. I like to think maybe that this is the start of the redemption arc for Tabor. I have no idea. We'll see. I know there's some big surprises coming my way.
I started, I will talk about this later, but this episode made me start on the hashtag Taberdemption train, a hashtag that nobody uses but me. I completely understand that I was one of the only people who was seeking hashtag Taberdemption. But
yeah, this is starting to get me on the Nubs Nation. The Nubs Nation train. I'm having a lot of fun with Nubs in these episodes.
We will unite and conquer the world. All right, go ahead.
Next up, we have Squadron. So in the episode Squadron, we open with the younglings, the gang, flying on Nash's ship. Nash is showing off some maneuvers. Nash is showing off some maneuvers on the ship, and she decides to let Kai fly the ship. However, Kai messes up, gets in a bit of trouble, and almost crash lands Nash's ship, but the ship escapes with some minor damage. However, they all go to the moons of Tanu to pick up their training starfighters from Zephyr because it's time for the younglings to have more training lessons. On the way back, they're flying around, they're cutting up, they're showing off, and Nash ends up being the only one who is not stuck inside the mouth of a space slug. That's right. The rest of the crew and their starfighters are stuck inside. Pardon?
It's
sorry,
Kai.
Kai. Yeah, sorry. Kai is the only one. Nash is in there. I meant to say Kai. And Kai, having previously messed up, now is responsible for getting his friends out of the space slug's mouth, which he does by doing the very same maneuver that he had failed to do, getting them in trouble earlier on. And they end up making it back to Tanu safely.
In Force Defenders, Nash and the younglings go to the planet of Fedarian. They're trying to visit the Fedarian trees, strong wood, and create a vibrant ecosystem on the planet. But they come upon a bunch of stumps indicating that trees have been cut down. They come upon this large vehicle and try to enter it, but the droid RC-99 prohibits them from entering, saying that the owner of the vehicle, Raxlow, does not have time to talk to them. They manage to trick their way onto the ship and meet up with that stupid son of a bitch, Raxlow, a corporate hog who is trying to chop down those fucking trees and sell them for money and not even doing anything useful with them, contributing to ecological degradation. Okay, you gotta calm down about this guy. All right, and Raxlow specifically is endangering the habitat of the Scriffles, that's what they're called, which are local animals that live in the Fedarian trees. They eventually hatch this plan where Nubs pushes down a huge boulder as a distraction, and then the rest of the crew ties Raxlow's harvester up with a string and forces Raxlow to vacate the planet because they foiled his plan to commit ecological destruction. In The Jedi and the Sith, Kai and Lith and Nubs are practicing with a training droid, their lightsaber skills, but Kai dressed it up like Tabor, and Master Zia sees this and is none too pleased. Kai and Zia go on a mission to an unnamed desert planet where Zia had previously been as a youngling when she had been far more reckless and impatient, chasing after pirates. They get to a dealer that Zia knows called Faraz, where they're trying to retrieve supplies, but they find that their ship has been stolen. They manage to get aboard the ship and they find out that the ship has been stolen by an old friend of Zia's named Ace Callisto. In trying to apprehend Callisto, Kai accidentally crashes their ship down into a cave and they're then confronted by two, what the fuck are they called? They're then confronted by two, fuck. They're then confronted by two Stalots, which are creatures that live in the cave. Kai then has to trust Ace to distract the Stalots, as Master Zia had her ankle twisted in the crash, while Kai goes and sends out a message for help. After seeing valiance and loyalty to her friends, even after stealing their ship, Kai begins to reconsider the possibility that Tabor might actually have the option to make better choices in the future, and he starts believing in the Jedi philosophy of the idea that our choices really define who we are and who we want to be. All right. We had four fantastic episodes here. I don't know what we call them. They're half episodes, but whatever. We got four great ones here. This, I feel like, is where Young Jedi Adventures really starts to pick up. We got four major, I'm going to call these like four major, they're major indicators of what we're going to see in this show. Like, the first and last Jellyfoot Pursuit and Jedi and the Thief are, in my opinion, big thematic indicators of where we're going. And okay. The two in the middle, Squadron and Forest Defenders, are big, like, tone and plot indicators of where we're going.
Okay, makes sense.
And I'll explain both of those later. But yeah, both of them act as really great. All four of them are really great stories, and I think are all very well told. But let's go to the Jellyfoot Pursuit, where the first thing we gotta talk about is Tabor being oh so tough and oh so vile and stealing Shek's notes. Fruit.
No, we've seen this before. I just like to say, shameless Rebels plug, but we've seen this before.
Yeah, but Ezra and those fuckers were stealing for like supplies for their burgeoning rebellion movement. Tabor was stealing fruit to be mean and intimidating.
I'm not saying they were doing the same thing. I'm just saying, I call him like I see him, man. When I see a little Rebels tributary, I gotta give it some love. I think
absolutely.
I like it. I like it. Tabor, he's got his head in the right place. I like where his head is at. If you're gonna steal something, be like Ezra and steal some fruit.
Wildly different real, situation.
I can't take Tabor seriously. Something about his voice, I don't know what it is. Every time he talks, I'm just like, not this guy again, man. He's just a kid. I don't really know how old these kids are supposed to be. I assume he's youngling aged, like the younglings, since they're
Yeah. No, for those of you listening,
he should be in school, man. He should not be doing whatever he's doing.
For those of you listening who've watched Young Jedi Adventures the whole way through, anyway.
I guess I'll find out. I shouldn't speak too soon because you keep me on my toes, Eli. I'm expecting something big now.
So Tabor takes the fruit to sell at Yharam Tower. There's that line, why share when you can sell? And then I wrote in my notes, so that's Tabor's problem. He's not a thief. He's just a capitalist. Makes sense.
Yeah.
There's an exchange in Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny that was heavily featured in the trailers that got some flack because apparently people didn't like it. But I loved it. Where it's an exchange between Indiana Jones, his daughter Helena, played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, and the main villain, Jürgen Voller, played by Mads Mikkelsen. And Indy tells Voller, you stole it, and then Voller responds, then you stole it, and then Helena replies, then I stole it. It's called capitalism, and that is very much the vibe I get from this episode, where it's just, look, finders keepers, losers weepers. Like Tabor, I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, this is a good example, and it reminds me of an exchange from Guardians of the Galaxy, where Rocket's asking about trying to steal stuff. And the law enforcement agent, played by John C. Reilly, is like, what if I want to steal stuff? And the law enforcement agent says, but you can't do that. That's against the law. But what if I want it more than they do? And no, that's still against the law. I don't think you're getting it. So I want it more than they do, and so I can just take it. He's, sir, no, that's not how this works.
Him and Tabor would be best friends, I think.
Yeah, no.
I think Tabor, him and Tabor would get along great.
Tabor and Rocket Raccoon would be something interesting together, but
Rocket
but
and yeah, Nubs—that's what would really happen. They would be besties.
I don't know. It would be Groot and Nubs. Are you kidding me?
Ah, yeah. Groot. If we're doing the full crossover, then yeah, Groot.
Yeah,
and Nubs.
It'd be Groot and Nubs.
Very similar vibe.
Yeah, this is something else I just noted from just generally. Kublot Springs just seems so fucking nice.
It's a nice place.
Everybody vibes and eats fruit and good shit's happening there. Why could Galaxy's Edge not be on fucking Tanu?
Look, all I'm wondering is what are these, some Jedi training this is, right? Luke, Jedi are supposed to be focused. They're living an ascetic life. They're giving up the earthly and worldly pleasures of the galaxy to isolate and meditate and connect with the Force. And then you got these three little whippersnappers. You got Nubs and Kai and I'm blanking on the last one.
Liss.
You got Nubs and Kai and Liss just running around, doing whatever they want, going to fruit festivals, just having a grand old time. I'm like, the other
Breaking,
Jedi
old
must be
man
like,
yells
what the
at
fuck is
cloud.
this? Oh, come on. Come on, man. You know I'm right. You know I'm right. Clearly the High Republic knows how to, or clearly the Jedi of the High Republic era know how to live life a little bit more than
I mean,
the prequel
you
era
do know
Jedi
about
are
the
some real hard
Wayseeker.
asses.
You know what about the Wayseeker part of the Jedi, right?
No, I do not.
The Wayseekers are a group of Jedi. Somebody could become a Wayseeker. I don't exactly remember how this works, but yeah, it was. But all here's what this says. What this says on Wikipedia: Wayseeker was a title of the Jedi Order that signified a Jedi who wished to operate independently of the Jedi High Council and its dictates. Basically, they could follow the call of the Force to do whatever the fuck they wanted to do, as long as they could justify it by saying it's the call of the Force. So there was one Jedi who became a minor singing sensation on Alderaan because that's what the Force called her to do.
I love it. Oh my,
That is
I
a
love
feature,
it.
not a bug of this era.
I see. Okay, I
And
see.
there were many prominent Jedi who were Wayseekers who just did what they wanted.
I understand. Interesting.
It's not all of the Jedi, but there were
Interesting.
a sect of them who were Wayseekers. Yeah, so yeah,
Yeah,
the High
yeah.
Republic is not the Jedi in a
It's
lot of
not the
good ways.
Jedi we know of the
In a
old
lot of
Repo
good
or
ways,
of
it's not.
the old Republic or the new old Republic.
Not of the Galactic Republic, the prequel era. Yeah, and that's actually another thing that's great. Of course, one of the things is we don't have to see them under an order that we know will fail in a few years, more like a few hundred years now.
Yeah.
And we don't have to do the, oh, I can't wait till the Order 66 scene. Dumbass
Dang,
fucking
man.
complaints. I saw some people talking
What's
about that. I saw some people talking about saying,
wrong with
oh, I
Order
can't wait.
66?
The idea is, I can't wait till we get to Order 66 so these kids can be murdered by Anakin.
Is that oh, never mind. I'm not. I won't bother.
By the way, I fucking love the fact that. That any time they're like, okay, where could Tabor have gone to? I think it might have been Yharam Tower. Okay, goes there. He's there.
Yeah.
Dude is incredibly consistent, which could show, but still, it's funny to me.
I guess there must not be many. There must not be many seedy pirate hangouts on Tanu.
It's not
But
on
who
Tanu. It's
knows?
not on
It's
Tanu.
not? You
No, it's on a separate
serious?
planet in the sector.
Oh, okay.
It's on
Well,
the planet Yharam.
there must not be many seedy pirate hangouts in the sector in that case.
No, absolutely. I think that is the good explanation for that. I definitely agree with you there.
But before we move on too far,
Okay.
can we appreciate the fact that we got a whole ass song, a jingle, a Jellyfruit jingle? Are you kidding me, bro? This show is amazing. There's just this song that everyone knows, this Jellyfruit song. I can't even remember how it goes now.
Give me a second. Fuck, I am trying to, because I know.
I was dying. I was like, what? I was like, this is so surreal. And yet they couldn't do a theme song. They really should have done a theme song if they
Juicy
went to
and
all this
jiggly,
trouble.
soft and sweet, crazy, colorful, and fun to eat.
I rest my case, bro. I don't even have to say
Yeah,
anything else. This
yeah,
show is goaded,
it's.
bro. I was dying.
It's.
I was dying.
I'm truly interested to see what you get from this, because I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't really care about the. It was fun, but I was like, yeah, that was cool. And just moved on. The reason that I
I was
have
dying,
the.
dog. They were like trying to make it a thing. They kept repeating the song too. It was like the
You
coda. It was like a coda
can't.
at the end of the episode. They were like, "Yay, now we get
You,
to sing the
you,
song
stop
again."
trying to make.
I'm like,
Stop
"Oh my
trying to make
God."
the Jellyfruit single of jingle a thing. You can't make it a thing. Stop trying to make fetch a thing.
Jellyfruit singles going platinum at the Jedi Temple. I
Going
guarantee it.
platinum, baby. I'm now just imagining Master Xia just being just banging her head against the wall later that day as she's had to hear it for the 500th time. That scene writes itself. Whereas, okay, I love you guys. Can you just shut up? With the Jellyfruit jingle. God, I didn't know if that by releasing you guys to get some fruit, I was gonna have to endure all this. We'll get to Zia later. And then we get to Yharam Tower. And this is where already the interesting part of Tabor's character gets a bit more interesting for me. Because he gets there and nobody takes him seriously. He is, and obviously he is, a joke.
It's interesting, though. We get to see a different side of Tabor, because up to this point, at least in the episodes that I've seen, he's relatively... Suspend disbelief for us watching this as an audience, but for these younglings, he is a big threat.
He's a great threat for the youngling. He's a match.
He's just evil. But this episode humanizes him to the younglings.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
And very much they could have taken this another way. They could have tried to, and I think they might have even been able to do it convincingly, make so that like he was actually gaining credibility. But with the pirates, but no, they decided, which I think what I think was the more interesting story idea, which was no, he, this is not a, oh, I'm this evil sadistic person, so I'm gonna do all this shit. It's, hey, I want to join in with the cool kids. The cool kids are all sitting over there,
and I want to
act as tough as I can. I want to act as tough as I can so the cool kids will like me. And we'll get into later in the season exactly where that sentiment comes from, but I think it's a great little twist in the episode. But then they have this big chase with the crate of jelly fruit, and then it falls off, like you see it fall off the freaking platform, and then you get that richly deserved, in my opinion, Force theme there.
I'm telling you, man, I had goosebumps.
Good shit.
I had goosebumps during that. I had goosebumps during that moment, man. I was just sitting here watching this show. I was like, yeah, whatever. Just Young Jedi Adventures. All of a sudden, I was like, oh my God.
Oh, they're going there.
Like, I'm getting shades of like Spark of the Rebellion. Like, this is with this swelling music. This is crazy right now.
Yeah.
And then it went back to just being silly and goofy and whatever. But that was a moment for sure.
I disagree with you that it goes back there, because the reason I put this episode is good without the last like few minutes. But the reason I put this up there is the thing that happens directly after they lift the crate up. Because, you know, they could have so easily been like, okay, we got the jelly fruit. Bye, bitches. We'll see ya.
Yeah.
They did not have to give Nash the beat of, okay, I'm going to give Tabor one of these. And I remember when I watched this for the first time and Nash gave Tabor, I'm like, oh no, it's going to be one of those kind of shows. Like, this is like, I wrote the quote down here. I forgot that this festival isn't about sharing with friends. It's about sharing with everyone, even pirates. And that is so freaking Star Wars. Right there, that is it is that compassion as that defeating force. Not to make too grand of a comparison, I'm not saying that this is as great of a moment as these two things, because it's not, but it has the same sentiment to me as I will not fight you, father, or I did want to take your friend, your hand, Ben's hand from Rise. Everybody deserves a second chance. It's the beginning of me having some hope for that kid, that he could do better,
right,
that he could be better.
You're absolutely right. And it ties in very nicely to, gosh, which one is it? It ties very nicely into the Jedi and the Thief with that, which we will get to the lesson of that one. We don't just look at people as embodiments of their worst moments. So I agree. I thought that definitely made the episode a lot better and a lot more significant.
That's what pushed this episode to being like that. I don't think I would have included this specific story if not for that. That is the reason I included Jelly Fruit Pursuit, just generally speaking, is just because of that last 2 minutes that completely enriches the whole thing. Do you have anything else for this, or do you want to go to Squadron?
Let's go to Squadron. Let's go to Kai saving the day.
Very much Squadron for me is the complete opposite of this short. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Because I remember when I watched this at first, I remember this being one of my favorite stories. Because this is not, for me, a thematic story. And it obviously has its themes in it and all that kind of stuff. Kai and Nubbinless learned some stuff. But for me, this is let's introduce some of Star Wars to kids who've never seen Star Wars. And so when they... because you realize what's going to happen now. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. In large contrast, I think this is actually a good thing, where we have they go through the asteroid belt. They see the space slug. They see the Exegorth, which I'm a huge fan of. I love those things. And then when these kids grow up a few years and they finally are ready, their parents determine they're ready to see Star Wars, and of course then the Empire Strikes Back, they'll be like, oh, that's the creature from Young Jedi Adventures.
I would actually, I feel like I would be aged a million years if I was watching The Empire Strikes Back with someone and they said, oh my god, I've seen the space slug before in Young Jedi Adventures. I don't think my mental health could handle that. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm telling you that in 7-8 years, I think that is going to happen.
It probably will. No, you're absolutely right.
But I think it's so interesting just because, like, that's what I love about Squadrons so much specifically, is that, tell me, Jacob, I am not a big pilot guy. I'm not a big starfighter guy. That's actually usually been more your domain.
Yeah, but definitely.
The association of them getting their own fighters, getting their own ships, is associated with this freedom and adventure. And just like the idea, if this is somebody's introduction to the Star Wars galaxy, which I think in many ways it probably will be. For many people, it probably will be. This is the story to me that opens Star Wars up as this galaxy trotting adventure, which is what it started as at the end of the day, and what it still maintains, even no matter what show, book, comic, movie you point to, Star Wars will always be this vast operatic space fantasy story that is like one of our great fairy tales of the 20th and 21st century. And I love that this gets to introduce it to them that way. If I may wax poetic about that, yeah.
Fair enough. It's hard to argue. It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
We see Kai in this episode. I thought a big thing that I kept coming back to during these episodes was Kai getting humbled, or Kai kind of needing to learn his lesson. He's very much the archetype of the very brash young Padawan who really wants to prove himself, really wants to fight, has a very, very strong but also lacking in nuance understanding of good and evil, the Force, what it means to be a Jedi, all those things. A little bit like a younger Anakin, in a sense, a younger Jedi Anakin. It reminds me of him a little bit.
Yeah, I think
obviously that's what this episode is about, with him flying the Bright Star. No, he is
Crimson
the Bright
Firehawk.
Star. Wow, that's the most stereotypically Star Wars ship name I've ever heard. I literally always joke about how all the good guy ships, all the hero ships are called like the Brilliant Starhawk or Freedom's Radiance, and all the bad guy ships are called the Shadow
Slug. Annihilator.
The Annihilator, yeah. And that is literally the Crimson Firehawk.
The Malevolence,
Firehawk.
The Supremacy, the Death Star.
But, yeah. Every ship is just, ooh, mean bad guy. Ooh, every good guy ship is like the awesome, badass, sparkly pony unicorn, flaming wizard dragon karate monster. There are no in-between whatsoever.
None.
Especially not in this show. But Kai almost crashes the Firehawk. This is not the first time, or this is not the last time in this episode of the show that we're going to be talking about Kai causing a crash. But yeah, I think this episode is really about Kai learning to both have a little bit more grace in the face of areas where he is not the expert, maybe, but then also learning that it's okay to go out on a limb and make mistakes, because Kai is clearly someone who cares a lot about being the best at everything that he does.
That's
his personality.
That will carry on. There's a short that we'll get to, I believe, in a few weeks, called Clash, that I think really hammers that home, and it's great. That Clash is a great one. Let's see when we're getting to that. we're getting to Clash. Oh, it's a while. It'll be probably around a month from now. We'll get to Clash. A really damn good episode. Introduces one of my favorite new characters from the show. I think Kai is learning to put a lot of his arrogance aside. I don't know if you know this specifically, but those ships, the Vectors that they got in this episode?
The Starfighters?
Yeah, they're called Vectors.
They look a little V-22 Torrent-esque to me.
The V-22 Torrents are early Republic.
Yeah, I know.
Early Republic ship. Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm aware.
Because Jedi Vectors... Yeah. I know, I was just confirming with you. I was just confirming with
yeah.
you. The Jedi Vectors are almost certainly the predecessors. Jedi Vectors were first introduced in Light of the Jedi. They're a prominent ship from the High Republic. They're specifically designed to be used by Jedi.
Mm,
they are Jedi ships. They're one of the biggest markers besides those orange and gold robes and all that kind of stuff. They're one of the biggest markers of the High Republic. So like, people were freaking out. Like people, I remember people on High Republic Twitter were like freaking out when they saw the Vector on screen for the first time here. This is our first real indication again that we're getting into the High Republic era. We'll get more later. We'll see it. We'll see a Nile insignia in a few episodes. We'll see Starlight Beacon, which is like a main area that gets explored a lot in Phase 1 of the High Republic. We will see characters that we know from the High Republic, Loden Greatstorm, Bell Zedifar, Astala Maru, Lena, all that stuff we will see. But this is our first like little peek at, this is when this is taking place. This is the era that these kids are living in.
Yeah.
I was just going to say there was one other thing I wanted to point out, which is I feel like I did a bad job at last episode, actually, at reversing moments of our great blue boy. So I wanted to talk about Pilot Nubs. I mean, Nubs accidentally starting the wrong thing on his ship and then here we go. And then especially Nubs in the Firehawk on the way in, getting in the cannon and shooting the asteroids so they could clear a way through. I will never get tired of seeing that. I want that on loop. I want Nubs just firing that blast. I just want that on loop. Please, thank you.
What else? Yeah, what else for this episode? I don't know. What else do you have? What else do you have for this episode?
Not a ton. The energy and the vocabulary, the film vocabulary from Empire Strikes Back. We get that shot of them, of the Crimson Firehawk and Liss and Nubs escaping from the Exegor through its teeth. It's a direct mirror of Empire, and it's on purpose. Because again, I do believe when those kids see this, they'll be like, oh, that makes sense. That's where Young Jedi Adventures took it from.
I think it's cool that, I think it's cool as well, you know, that this is an opportunity to express, I guess, some of the values that Star Wars wants to express, you know, in a different way to a different audience. And I think that they did a good job of that in this episode as well, you know, with the idea of, or just opening a dialogue about it, making mistakes, you know, and being able to both exercise humility while simultaneously stepping up or going outside of your comfort zone when the situation calls for it. But with that, do we want to talk about Forest Defenders? Because I thought this was a pretty cool episode. I know you feel some type of way about Raxlow, the evil chicken, the least serious Star Wars villain of all time, I might say. In contention, bro. He's in contention.
Oh, we'll get to the end of the three shorts that Raxlow appears in. Yeah, he appears in two others that we're going to cover. And you'll see if you agree, you'll still agree with that statement. No, Raxlow is actually a Gazo, which is the species that Flix was in Star Wars Resistance.
So a giant chicken, basically, is what you're saying. I hear giant chicken from what you're saying.
Yes. Also voiced by Haley Joel Osment.
Hey, good job. It was well done. It was a lot of fun.
In case people are not familiar with Mr. Osment, he sees dead people in The Sixth Sense, famously. Yeah, that's really what it is. He sees dead people. He's the kid in Sixth Sense, which is just a great film. And he's also done a shit ton of other stuff as well. But it was just like real. I always look up voice actors and stuff, especially like with this stuff. And it was just like, how did they get him? There's another one next episode that's like, how did they get them? My first complaint with this episode, there's only one complaint I have with this episode, which is that Federian to me sounds like a Star Trek planet.
That's a pretty good episode if that's your primary complaint.
I'm mostly joking, but doesn't it sound like a Star Trek planet?
Federian sounds like a Star Trek. I guess so. I don't mind it. I don't mind it, but I see that. Yeah, but I don't mind it.
Yeah, but I will say this: even though, like I said earlier, I'm like, oh, we're not doing creature episodes and all that kind of stuff. That wasn't exactly true. We're doing a creature episode here. Because it's mostly about those Skriffles, which sounds like you're trying to curse, but are not exactly able to. But do you have anything on the first half of this episode before we get to Raxlow?
No, not Raxlow's kind of the main event.
Yeah. So I mean, I've been moaning about this guy to a bunch of our good friends for ages. Like, you talk to friends of the show, Alden Diaz, friends of the show, Jared the Dark Jedi, they'll tell you that I've talked their ear off about Raxlow and about, just generally speaking, I did not think that anti-corporate environmentalism was going to be featured in Young Jedi Adventures. And yet, here we are. Be honest, you don't have to be honest, we saw it on the episode. You didn't believe me when I said Young Jedi Adventures was going to be tackling some sophisticated topics. And here we are. And here we are. If you had asked me, as I read my notes, if you had asked me what the 20 most likely themes in the show would be, the environment is vital for all living beings and decreasing regulations so that corporations can come in and plunder important ecological site for capital is bad, actually would not have been there. It just wouldn't have been there. Because nobody expects that from a show for 5-year-olds. Leave it to Star Wars, though. Leave it to Star Wars to do that. Legitimately, I remember when I started thinking about this episode and other episodes, there's a specific other episode called The Thieves of Tharnaka that we'll get to later, where I'm like, damn, this is surprisingly complex and sophisticated for a kid's show, but they explain it really well. He's cutting down trees and the trees are somebody's home and you don't do that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think it's a very good introduction to it's the latest in a long and illustrious tradition of children's TV programming, trying to introduce kids to the concept of environmentalism, and I appreciate that. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah,
I especially like that they just hit the nail on the head with. And I'm going to quote verbatim here what Raxlow says. He says, and I quote, "You may not know that the trees are extremely valuable. That's why I am going to cut them all down and sell them for lots and lots of money." Thank you, Raxlow. Yes. Thank you. We didn't realize.
By the way, Jacob, I'm dumb as fucking hell. I'm so dumb right now. Jacob, reverse the two syllables as his name.
Lorax. Yeah. I didn't even think about that. Wow.
Very subtle. Right. Very subtle.
That didn't even occur to me. Wow.
No, Young Jedi Adventures will continue being subtle. Because they're not being extremely unsubtle, because there is a character in a future episode named Ozon Nimby.
Ozon Nimby. I wonder what that episode is going to be about.
It's about gentrification.
Wow. That's going to be interesting.
It's fucking crazy the things they get away with in this show. I was just ranting in my notes. I just saw, I'm like, look, disruption of habitats and ecological systems is already bad, of course. But if you try your best, if it's for resource gathering that's like essential for people and you try to reform the ecological system, then like you can maybe justify it a little bit. But like this guy's just doing it for profit. Imagine, if you will, like companies that just put people to work on these things and then don't even do anything with them. Imagine like a movie, for example, where the entire movie gets made and then they decide, we're actually not going to release this movie. And we're just going to sell it off, write it off for tax purposes. Imagine how crazy that would be.
Batgirl!
Back me. Sorry, I had a really bad cough there. No, it's even funnier because you know what corporation I could totally see doing a move like that?
All of them?
Well, yeah, but specifically, you know what? Which one I could think of doing that?
The Nestle Corporation.
Oh, well,
you said Disney.
Yeah, Disney was the one I was going for. Mm. How ironic that this show is on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Funny how these things have a way of happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
I mean, Last Week Tonight is on David Zaslav's HBO Max. You know, no one knows anymore. One last thing I will say about this episode is, why the fuck does Raxlow and RC99 use Ta as a phrase? Like, they're not British. They just use
it. I don't know.
It was, like, really weird.
Yeah, and earlier in the first episode in Jellyfruit, Tabor said A at the end of a sentence a bunch. He went, these fruits are pretty good, eh? So I was like, what?
Yeah, no, there's some interesting dialogue choices with this. Absolutely. But yeah, now the Jedi do some disruption. They do some, you could call it eco-terrorism if you wanted to. You could call it whatever you want to. They put this guy out of business on this planet, which is so horrible. And what about his for profits? And oh no, I'm so sad. Anyway, yeah. Raxlow following in the tradition of Newt Gunray and Halle Bertoni as the incredibly subtly named political characters that they are. And I think that's all I have for this episode. Only I will just say one thing. Jacob, do you know I just found out something?
What's that?
You're gonna think I'm crazy for this one, okay? I think Star Wars might be political.
Nah, no way. No way, Jose. Impossible.
I know, it's crazy. I think Star Wars might be political. I think it might have had anti-fascist messages this entire time.
Impossible.
It is so fantastic to me that even for 5 and 6 year olds, they're doing these political messages. It's great. And then finally, we have The Jedi and the Thief. Where do you want to start with this episode?
Gosh, so Kate, Master Zia and Kai off on their own mission to get some air conditioning parts.
I assume that's what it is. Yeah, something like
for
that.
The temple. I think that's what they said. I don't know. Where do you want to start? What do you do with this one?
I was gonna say the thing about that was my other clue about going back to Jellyfruit for a second. That was my other clue about Tabe Redemption. These two were my first clue of Tabe Redemption, which was if they're directly making the statement that, hey, maybe don't like actively fight Tabor, which is a great message, but it's not a message they had to put in there. Maybe don't take all your anger out on this guy because he's a person. I'm like, so maybe they are going to do some stuff with this guy, and we'll see what exactly they do, but I can tell you it is some stuff. It's a great thing to know, because look, it's obvious what they did. You could see their thought processes perfectly. I can totally understand how they got there to, let's dress this up, this droid up as Tabor so that we can fight him. And Kai's reasons for fighting him are not bad, but it's the choice of, I'm going to use violence. I am going to be confrontational. When Jedi, as we know, use violence as a last resort, The Star Wars doesn't have a great track record of showing us that, because it's more fun when Jedi use the violence as an early result. But that's always the idea of the Jedi. And of course, it's the way the Jedi lost their way during the Clone Wars, which is that they used violence too readily. But if you go to Tales of the Jedi, you go to fucking, what do you call it? Justice. If you go to Justice from Tales of Jedi, Dooku does the move that Dave Filoni's talked about, George Lucas telling him about the Jedi I've done for so long, which is he puts his lightsaber down on the table. Let's talk. I can use this if I really want to, but I don't want to. I seriously do not want to use this. I would rather negotiate in good faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what Kyle learns this episode is that among other stuff, but is that violence is the last resort of a Jedi, and the aggressive negotiations, as Padme and Anakin would call it, are only a good option once all other diplomatic forms of negotiation are breached. And Padme knows that, and most of the good guys of Star Wars know that. I like that touch at the beginning and end of it. But no, as soon as Zia, I will say, as soon as I saw, because I knew it was a Zia Kai solo adventure, I didn't remember exactly what it was, but I'm like, I remember specifically, I just said to myself, God, when are we going to get more Zia material in adult stuff? Star Wars.
Yeah, it's like fun to see. Republic
stuff.
Yeah.
What are you going to say?
Clearly we have a lot to unpack from her, so I agree with you.
Yeah. I said make it a Tales of the Jedi series of shorts. Make 3 shorts on Zia. Hell yeah. Do it. I think that Nassim Pedrad, who was on Saturday Night Live for many years, obviously has her origins as a comedian, but I think she does some really great acting in this series. She's just cool. The Kai and Listen Nubs obviously look up to her. And for a reason, she reminds me a lot of the best Jedi that we've seen in Star Wars. Your Avar Krisses, your Obi-Wan Kenobis, your Qui-Gon Jinns. She's kind, she's compassionate, she's brave, she has a firm hand, but and knows specifically when to use it. Kind but no nonsense kind of person. And then they get quickly go to get that speeder from Fazar, right? No, Faraz is his name. Who knew Zia when she was a young girl. And then, of course, and I totally forgot about the whole thing with how they get back aboard their ship. But I remember when Faraz says, just try and bring it back in one piece this time. I'm like, this time? What did you do last time?
Yeah.
They go on that chase after Ace, who they don't know is Ace, to get their ship back. And there's that fantastic thing where they jump on to the ship from that speeder, and then you see the speeder cascading to the ground, and it just blows up. And
beautiful.
Zia's response is fantastic. Is oh, not again. And at that moment, I'm like, if only Anakin had Zia. Like, that feels like such an Anakin moment. Blows that speeder. Oh, not again. Oh, I guess this happened. No grave concern. It was just like...
Oh. Yeah. She doesn't... That was a moment. That was a moment. I think... Oh, gosh. It's not quite, you know... Sometimes the Jedi can be a bit too single-minded, if you know what I mean, in the pursuit of their... in their goals. And obviously, I trust her to make it up to Zephyr. Gosh, what's his name?
Faraz.
That's the other episode. To Faraz. But gosh, if the Jedi don't tend to leave a trail of destruction in their wake sometimes.
Yes, but on the other hand, it was one speeder.
Yeah.
The entire show, we've seen the destruction of one speeder.
I guess that's a pretty...
We haven't seen any injury. We haven't seen... Except for the twisted ankle that Master Zia herself gets this episode. You know, there's no trail of destruction in this show for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, compared to, let's be honest, compared to a lot of these shows and movies, I think the Jedi have a pretty pristine record.
A
pretty pristine record these days.
And then we get Ace Callisto, a.k.a. Tig Notaro, which I'm like, how did they get Tig Notaro in this show? They get the most random fucking people in this show, and it's just fantastic. I just love... It's just, yeah, okay, we're going to get Tig Notaro. We're going to get, in the previous episode, we're going to get Haley Joel Osment. There's some other one. There are some other good cameos in here. I'm trying to think of another good one. Jedi Adventures. I'm trying to think of a good one. Now, the big one is the big ones are Tig Notaro and the big ones of Tig Notaro and Haley Joel Osment. We'll get actually in a future episode in one that you will see, we'll get a cameo from Nasheer Dalal, who played Vice Admiral Rampart and Boda Kuna of Fuck Boda Kuna fame, playing a character named Mike Ozala, which I think will be cool. I'm trying to think, are there any other ones? There's one that matters to me, but that doesn't matter. Anyway, whatever. Tig Notaro as Ace is weird. But yeah, they go on this adventure. They chase around those Stalots, I think they're called, right? The Stalots, right?
Yeah.
The Stalots. Yeah, the Stalots, which they distract. And then we get that nice conclusion to the episode where Kai tells Zia, I wanted to stop her because I used to think Ace was a bad person. Actually, sorry. When Zia tells Kai, I wanted to stop her because I used to think Ace was a bad person. But isn't she? Kai, even if someone has done bad things before, they could still choose to do good. And that's what sells this episode for me. Is it's always about the choice. It is always about the choices. That's Ace here chooses to make the right decision, chooses to help Kai and Zia out. And that's what matters. It is the choice to save his son that brings Anakin Skywalker back to the dark side. It's the choice to Knights of Ren on Exegol that brings Ben Solo back. It's the choice. It's these characters' choices that make them who they are, and it's something that being a Jedi, you don't just choose the light once and then it's a lifetime purchase. You have to choose it again and again every time. And I think that's a really great theme that this episode has. Of course, and then Kai tells Zia, if Ace can choose to do good, then maybe one day Tabor can too. Tabor Redemption, bitches, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go. I'm so excited for Tabor Redemption. And then, of course, we have that great visual cue at the end of the story where they continue fighting against that droid. And then we zoom down to see the Tabor helmet that they made lying on the ground, not being struck against. What are your overall thoughts on these four episodes?
Gosh, overall, I think that these were some really interesting episodes. I definitely think that we have to keep in mind when we're evaluating these, the medium, the purpose of the show, the context within which it sits. But with all that being said, I was quite pleased. I thought I really like Jellyfruit Pursuit. I thought that one was a kick. I wasn't a huge fan, I didn't like Squadron as much. Forest Defenders, obviously. I thought the first half of the episode was pretty slow. But only once Raxlow comes in does we really get something interesting going. But that one was really good as well. And then Jedi and the Thief as well. I don't know. Something about it, I didn't love it quite as much. But overall, I thought these did a really good job of being... They were light, they were fun, they were entertaining, they had some laughs. I had a lot of laughs watching this, but they all had a little something extra. They all had a little bit of an undercurrent of a message or a question that they wanted the viewers to come away with, which I appreciated for a show like this, which isn't necessarily as ambitious as some of the other shows in the Disney Star Wars stable right now.
Absolutely. I enjoyed all four of these as well. Obviously, I put all these in. I think, yeah, for me, the Jedi and the Thief was, for me, I think the weakest of the four, but not by much. But we have to put it in there because it sets up some stuff, mostly Tabor Redemption stuff. And also, spoiler, Ace Callisto will be back. Next episode, we'll see Ace Callisto again, actually. But yeah, no, I put Jellyfruit Pursuit in because of that last few minutes. I put Squadrons in for reasons I explained. Forest Defenders, I just want as many opportunity to say fuck Raxlow as possible, and Jedi and the Thief because it sets up some great stuff. But I think these are four great stories, and I think they set up some great stuff for the future of this show. I think that's going to be it for this episode of Star Wars in the Galaxy. Next week, we are going to be continuing on our train with, we're going into the second drop of the Young Jedi Adventures episodes. We are going to be watching, we are going to be skipping episode 8 entirely. We are going to be watching episode 9, The Princess and the Jedi and Kai's Bad Day. And we're going to be skipping episodes 10 and 11 completely. But also for next week, we are going to be watching episode 12, Off the Rails and the Thieves of Tharnaka. Stuff we have to look forward to next week. Kai goes to a certain desert planet that I won't name, but y'all know. We get our direct comparison to last week tonight with an evil Gungan. And Tabor does some more fucked up stuff. That's the preview of next week Kai goes to that planet. Tabor does some more fucked up stuff, and then we get a Last Week Tonight episode analog with an evil Gungan named Tuba Jinx. Fucking wild. Wild shit. But in the meantime, that's going to be it. In the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram and all of our socials at In a Galaxy Pod. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Wherever you listen to podcasts, we'll be there. If we're not, you can email us at swinagalaxy.com, at swinagalaxy@gmail.com, along with any questions or trivia or anything you want to send to us that we can talk about on the show. You can find me personally. My link tree is linktr.ee/_ochifan327. And I think that's it. All I got to say is, may the force be with you.
Always.